Coming to you straight from the most reliably by a source of the Matrix, this is the Anarchy in Podcasting Network, and I am Hopty! Thank you. Welcome to the Neo-Anarchist Podcast. Little Crows, last time I told you about a secret scheme of mine to get harebrained schemes. Didn't mean to say schemes twice in one sentence. Anyway, to get harebrained schemes, that's three, to tell us the story of when old Opti was in Hong Kong. Well, some selfless crows took it upon themselves to support the cause. So, as a thank you, I wanted to give these runners some street cred by telling tales of their tremendous and tenacious treadworthy travels. In this episode, we break from our regular programming so that I can tell you about my chummer Sendaz, or more specifically, a tale Sendaz and me heard while on a run. You see, some years ago, Sendaz and me were hired to, take a package to a place. Anyway, we were reaching the last leg of our trip, and I kind of wished it would have lasted a bit longer. Sendaz is something of an artist when it comes to food, and he'd been cooking for us while we were on the go. And he has this hang-up for meta-cooking, you know, using awakened ingredients in his cuisine. So I was fattening my stomach, as well as my cred stick on that run. If you've never had Neo Orange Chicken, it's to die for. Anyway, I also like Sendaz because, although he's a mage, he isn't stuck up about it. He plays fast and loose with his tradition, even adopting some cyberware and using magic to augment his drones and stuff. Not my style, but it's his, and it works. He's good meta people. Anyway, me and this orc Sendaz, we were close to finishing our run, and we made our way through some Louisiana swamp. We chanced upon a pack of youngling orcs who were hunting what turned out to be a behemoth. A behemoth, for the uninitiated, it looks a little bit like a rocky, bumpy hippopotamus, but it's actually an awakened form of an alligator. Anyway, they're pretty big and more than a bit dangerous. Well, the cubs seemed to have it under control, except that they hadn't noticed that the beast had a mate in tow, and between the two of them, they had turned the tables on the orc youths. Of course, Sendaz and me aren't slaughters, so we give a hand to the kids, because that's a tough fight for anyone, and when you're in someone else's kingdom, it pays to be neighborly, even if you're only going to be there for the night. After the fight, we make sure the kids can walk, and a lot of us limp back to their little camp village town thing, where the grandmother matriarch of the clan patches us all up, and Sendaz and me eat more behemoth gumbo than we thought possible. As we sat around the fire, Granny Matriarch starts spinning us a tale she says is older than any tale we've heard before. And if it's true, then she's right. I'm going to tell it to you now, Crows, minus the extremely colorful yet creative use of derogatory language to refer to elves. When she spoke about it, it was more like a song than a sentence. But here goes. It is said, long ago, the people lived longer than they do now. That in the dawn of time, the span of our days rivaled that of the round ears. The elves and dwarfs walked the land as well back then, but back then our share of days were as one, and therein lies our secret and their shame. The people were free souls, always moving with the seasons like the herds we live upon. The elves, though, preferred to lay false claims to the land and those who strode upon it. How can you own land? From whom would you receive it? Still, the elves were persistent, and from time to time the people bore the yoke laid on them by the elves and other races, but we endured. But the elves did not merely seek dominance over the races of man, but grew to contend with the dragons themselves. Now dragons are mighty indeed, and not to be taken lightly. The people respected the dragons and endured them, as one must endure the storm that passes overhead. For they were like the forces of nature itself. Why complain about it? The elves, though, sought means to gain the upper hand, but their efforts were thwarted by time. For a dragon only goes stronger as time goes by, its growing never ceasing. The elves back then lived the same breadth of time as the dwarfs, a century or more, but even then, the decline of one's mind in their elder years meant a certain limit to their plans and goals. So a plan was hatched. They would change themselves down to their essence, drawing upon the life of another to extend their own. But who? They looked across the land, and their gaze fell upon the people. With our gusto for life and scattered magic, we were perfect for their plan. The people were of 16 clans, each roaming far and wide. The elves lured the 16 leaders to their kingdom with promises that would never be kept. Once within their realm, the 16 were sacrificed to the great spell the elves had created, and through them the spell reached to all the people. It took from each of us a portion of our days, bestowing it upon the elves, and extending their days threefold, while cutting ours the same. With their longer lives, thus did the elves continue in their struggle against the dragons, playing the long game at last. It was then with great irony that the dragons went on to take some elves and increase their life even further, some say even to immortality. That particular plan did not work out well for the dragons, but that is a tale for another day. But even now, to this day, the people still pay for the long lives of the elves, and we must watch our children grow old far too fast. But it need not always be so. Some say the hearts of the 16 clan chieftains still burn, tied to one another by the magics that bound them, and through them all the people, to that great infernal great spell. Should the hearts ever be found and brought together, maybe the magic could be broken, and our full share of days returned to all the people. Chummers, me and Sendaz just sat there, one part wanting to dismiss this tale as nonsense babbling of backwoods uneducated folk, one part sensing that there was some wisdom here that we couldn't dismiss, and one part smiling at the beauty and truth of it, regardless of its factuality. Sendaz and I have often discussed it, and to be honest, I can't find anything to contradict it, even with some of the dreck I've recently scanned. But who knows, Little Crows, maybe the 16 clan chieftains are out there somewhere, and maybe there is a powerful magic that can be broken and restore something to the shorter-lived metahumans. Ghost knows they could use a hand up. In the meantime, if any of you need a hand up, Opti is here, and for once, you have listened to something worth hearing on the Anarchy and Podcasting Network. The music serving as the background to Audible Anarchy was written by the legend Marshall Parker and reimagined by Unanimium 88. This was the Neo-Anarchist Podcast, and I am your fantastic folk tale frontman, fallibly fleeing fantasy, feeling fretful feelings of fear, faced with falsehood, but far more familiar with family and friends. Opti, enjoy your freedom, and try not to gain it at the expense of others.